verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, "In turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, the day that you have made. We thank you for letting us be here. And thank you, Father, for safety getting here, safety while we're here. And we pray you'd be with us as we leave. Lord, while we're here in these next few moments, I pray that you'd help us to be able to focus our attention on your word. Lord, please clear our minds of distraction. Help us to be attentive and alert. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have liberty to deal with our hearts, to change our lives. If there's somebody here today that's unsaved, we pray for their salvation. Lord, I thank you. I rejoice, Lord, with Natalie getting saved yesterday. And I pray that you would help her to grow up now, and Lord, help her to give her whole life to you in complete surrender, to love you and to serve you throughout her life. Just be with her, Lord, I pray. Lord, I thank you for everybody that helped out with our kids today. Thank you for blessing with the weather and with everything. Lord, you're so good to us, so good to this church, and we just thank you for everything you've done. Most of all, we thank you for salvation through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the word of God, and I pray you'd help me now, please, as I try to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. I must confess that in the years growing up, I watched and enjoyed many of those old spaghetti westerns that starred Clint Eastwood. I don't know if any of you, which I'm sure being in the South here, most of y'all have seen some of those westerns. I'll be honest and admit, every once in a while I backslide and watch one nowadays. But I watched them growing up, and one that I saw several times is titled The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Y'all remember that one? The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Well, the reason I bring that up is because that is the title for the message today. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And no, I'm not going to be preaching about certain members of our congregation, okay? That's not what I'm going to do. This is not a message starring a fictional character played by Clint Eastwood, okay? This is a message whose main character is a man in the Bible by the name of Lot. Lot was a man who was nephew to one of the most prominent characters in the scripture, and that is Abraham. And also you find that Lot is referenced several times in the scripture. Now, to get the bulk of Lot's story, you got to go back to the book of Genesis and read there, and you'll get the bulk of his story. But as you read on through scripture, you find other places where Lot is mentioned, like the Lord Jesus Christ, for example, mentioned Lot as he was preaching and teaching about his second coming. He said, "As it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." That shows you that we're not progressing as people would like for us to believe. We may be making advancements in technology, but morally and spiritually, we're not going up, we're going down. We're headed backwards, not forwards, okay? We're headed back to the days of Noah and Lot, according to the Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody with any sense can look around and see the truth in the words of the Lord Jesus. Because a whole lot of what was going on in Lot's day is already going on in the day and time in which we live right now. So I don't have any question about the truthfulness of what Jesus said. But you read about Lot in Genesis, you see Jesus reference him when he's teaching. And then right here in 2 Peter chapter 2, he is mentioned by Simon Peter. And what I want to do here this morning is show you from the scripture what I call the good, the bad, and the ugly of Lot's life. There are actually some good things that can be said about Lot. But there are also some bad things that can be said about Lot. And there are certainly some ugly things that can be shown from the Bible about Lot's life. And that's what I want to concentrate our attention on here for the next few moments. We're going to start with the good. We're going to start with the positive in this message and then go from there. But we want to talk first of all about the good. What good can be said about Lot? Well, I'll put it like this. If all we had was what is recorded in the Old Testament, we wouldn't be able to say hardly any good about Lot. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit recorded this passage of Scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 2 to show us that there actually was some good about the man Lot. Now, take a look here with me, if you would, at 2 Peter chapter 2. And in verse number 7, it says, and delivered, talking about the Lord, he delivered just Lot. Now, it says this because in verse number 6, Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit, uses Sodom and Gomorrah as illustrations of God's judgment. He uses them as illustrations of God's judgment. It says, the Lord turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. He condemned them with an overthrow, the Bible says, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. But whenever he condemned and judged Sodom and Gomorrah, you see in verse 7, it says he delivered Lot. Now, if you know the story, you know that God sent some angels down there to bring Lot and as many of his family members as would come out of Sodom. God had mercy on Lot. He had mercy on his family. He gave them an opportunity to get out of Sodom before he rained fire and brimstone on that place. And so there was some deliverance. But notice what it says there in verse 7. And delivered just Lot. Not just as in he was the only one that was delivered. That's not what that means. Because he wasn't the only one that was delivered, right? Now, all of his family could have been delivered, but there were certain members of his family that did make it out with him. So it's not just Lot as in the only one, but just as in a condition. God is calling this man just here. Lot, according to the Bible, was a fair man, an honest man. That's the idea behind the word just. It means you're fair, you're honest, you don't cheat. You don't steal, you're morally right, is the idea. That obviously is the kind of man that Lot was, because that's what the Bible says about him. And by the way, that's good for any child of God, amen? I mean, the most honest, upright, fair people on this earth ought to be God's people. People that are men and women of their word. People of integrity. People that are morally right in what they believe and where they stand and how they live. That's the way all of God's people ought to be. And that's how Lot was. He was just. But notice something else the Bible says about him here. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Not only does the Bible say Lot was just, the Bible says here that he was vexed with what was going on around him. Now, the word vexed means to irritate, to annoy, to bother, to get upset. That's the idea. And here's the thing you want to remember about Lot. Even though he was there in Sodom, you don't have any record in the Scripture that he ever took part in any of that stuff that was going on in Sodom. And by the way, if you look here in the passage, you get a very clear understanding of how God felt about what was going on in Sodom. Now, back in Genesis, the Bible says in Genesis 13:13, with 13 words, that the men of Sodom were sinners exceedingly before the Lord. That tells you how God felt about those people. But look right here once again at verse number 6. What did God do to those cities, to Sodom and Gomorrah and all of those different cities of the plain? The Bible says, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow. He burned them to the ground is what he did. Y'all still with me? God did that. God burnt them to the ground. He overthrew them. He condemned them. He wanted them to be an example of how God would deal with other people that lived ungodly like those people. That's what it says at the end of verse 6. Then you look there at verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. What does God say about the way those people were living down there? He says it was filthy. That's how God sees it. How do you see it, by the way? Those of you that are saved, I'm not asking lost people. I'm asking saved people this morning, how do you feel about that kind of stuff? And listen, Sodom is known for its perversion in homosexuality and lesbianism, but here's the thing. Those were not the only things that were wrong down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a whole lot of perversion going on in that place down there. A lot of wicked, vile stuff. So it's not just that we should look at people who are homosexuals and lesbians as being filthy. It's not just that, but anybody that is perverted. You hear what I'm saying? Anybody that is perverted and wicked in their morals, we need to see that as filthy as well. That needs to be our mindset, because that's the mindset of the God we say we serve. And I can't for the life of me understand these people that say they're saved and believe the Bible and love God, but think there's nothing wrong with people being this way. Listen, if I'm going to think like my God, what would Jesus do? Y'all remember the little bracelet? Well, I tell you what God did. He burnt the place to the ground. That's what he did. And how God feels about it is he says that it's filthy conversation. And look at the last word in that verse. God says they're wicked. Isn't that what he's saying? I mean, I'm not giving you my opinion this morning. I'm showing you what the Bible says. God said they're wicked. Look at verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their, what is that, unlawful deeds. You know that what they do, what they did, what people like that do now is unlawful. It's against the law. Now whose law is it against? It's against God's law. More and more it's not against man's law. Because we're going back to the days of Lot, right? We're going back to those days. So more and more legislation is being passed now to where we're supposed to accept this, and they're being given the same type of rights as everybody else. We're to acknowledge them as being married when, according to the Bible, they're not married. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what laws man passes, that will never be a legitimate marriage in the eyes of God. Do you understand me? When two men hook up, two women hook up, that is unlawful in the eyes of God, and he will never accept that as a marriage. Never, no matter what man says. Now let's have a biblical perspective on things, okay? It doesn't matter how you feel about it. I'm looking at what the Bible says about it. And I realize more and more this is a sensitive subject with people, okay? Because more and more people are coming out of the closet. And where some people used to be against it, now they got a child or they got a grandchild or a cousin or somebody in the family that's come out of the closet, and suddenly they no longer stand where they used to stand against that. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's your family. It is still wrong in the eyes of God. And you are wrong if that's not your perspective on that. Okay. But now let's look again. I got all that off my chest. There may be some more. Just hang on. Let's get back to Lot here. He's vexed. Verse number 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day. So God says he's a just man. God says that he's vexed. He's there in Sodom and he's hearing stuff. You see that verse number 8? He's hearing things. He's seeing things. That's how it is when you live somewhere. You hear things. You see things. Nowadays, we see and hear stuff all the time, don't we? And according to what you read there in verse number 8, this stuff that he was seeing and hearing, it bothered him. He didn't like it. It vexed him. It vexed this just man. It bothered him on the inside, seeing that stuff and hearing that stuff. And I don't know about you, but, well, when I turn on the TV nowadays and I hear them promoting all that stuff and I see all these commercials now, y'all see it if you watch any TV at all. All the commercials now just about have got faggots in them. I said that word. I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? Y'all know I'm telling you the truth, don't you? Just about every commercial, see, it's all about the bottom line at the end of the day. And what these businesses want to do now is they want to show that they're politically correct and that their business is accepting of any lifestyle, no matter how perverted it might be. So they're putting more and more queers and lesbians in their commercials. Isn't that the way it is? Well, when I see that and I hear that, it bothers me. I don't like to see it. I don't want my son to see it. Because listen, I don't want my son to grow up thinking he's a girl. And I don't want him being feminized by a wicked society so that later on he wants to go to bed with a man. You say you're aggravated. Yep. I'm vexed by this junk I see. I don't like it. And let me tell you something. If you're saved, it ought to burn you up too, friend. It ought to make you mad when you see that kind of stuff. You ought to be aggravated about that. Vexed by that stuff, because I'm telling you, it's not just something insignificant. It's an abomination in the eyes of Almighty God. That means God hates that mess. Perversion of any kind, I don't care what you're talking about, perversion of any kind, God is against that. You hear me? And you and I ought to be against that. We ought to be bothered by it. Lot was bothered. I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due, right? God said the man was a just man. God said he was at least, at the very least, he was bothered by what was going on down there. He never did become one of those kind of people himself, and he was against all that. He had a problem with it. Saved people ought to have a problem with it. One other thing I want to say about Lot before we move on is that according to verse number 8, he was a righteous man. Y'all see that? Verse number 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. God said he was a righteous man. But now you got to keep it in context. Righteous in comparison to the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? In comparison. Because you got wicked, verse number 7. You got righteous in verse number 8. There's a comparison there. Comparatively speaking, Lot was a righteous man in that he wasn't like those people, okay? He did not become like them and act like them himself is the idea. Even though it was around him, he never partook in that kind of stuff. So in that sense, he wasn't a wicked man. He was a righteous man. Now those are good things that can be said about Lot, but that's pretty much where it stops. That's about all the good. But I will say this, that's more can be said about some saved people today. But you got to give him credit where credit's due. There was some good. How about the bad? Let's talk about the bad in Lot's life. Well, there's a couple of main things I want to concentrate on. Look right here at verse number 8. It says, for that righteous man dwelling among them. Dwelling. That means he lived there. That's some of the bad about Lot, is that he made a choice as a saved man to go live with that mess down there. That's bad, okay? That's not a good thing. Now, if you go back to the book of Genesis and read the story there, you see that this choice was a process. It was kind of a process that led to this decision that Lot made to go there and live. You remember Abram and Lot had to separate one from the other. There was a strife that got started over grazing rights, and so they had to go their separate ways. And Abram told Lot, you just look around, pick whatever part of the land you want, and you go that way and I'll go the other, so we won't be fussing and fighting with one another. Well, Lot looks around and he picks the part of the land that he believes is going to benefit him the most financially. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. In your life as a Christian, when you start making decisions based solely on profit and financial gain, you headed for trouble in your life. You headed for trouble. And that's what Lot did. He looked around at the land and it was all well watered there in the plain. He was rich in cattle, had a lot of livestock, and he's thinking, okay, this is where I need to go. From a business perspective, that probably was a wise decision, but not from a spiritual perspective. But he makes that decision to go in that direction, and he's going towards Sodom. With every step that he makes, he's headed more in that direction. The Bible says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. That means he sets that thing up so when he's sitting in the door of his tent looking out, you know what direction he's looking? He's looking towards Sodom. Why would he want to do that? I'm going to tell you why he's looking towards Sodom, because right up here between his ears, he's already thinking about going to Sodom. It's on his mind. He's thinking about it. And when something that is wicked becomes an option in your life, I'm telling you, you're headed in the wrong direction, friend. They just some things for us to save people that should never be on the table, should never be an option for us as God's people. But what he did is he let Sodom become an option. You read on, the next time he shows up, you know where he's living? He's living in Sodom. It was a choice. Now, it was a process, but it was a choice he made. That was a bad decision to make, folks. No child of God, no person in a relationship with the God of heaven should ever want to go live in a place like that. No man, no woman. He made that choice. He chose to go, and he chose to go there for personal gain. But here's the thing about it. Not only did he choose to go, he chose to stay once he got there. And here's the thing that I don't understand. If all that stuff is bothering him so bad and he doesn't like it so much, why don't he pack up everything he's got and get out of that place? Why didn't he do that? But he didn't. He chose to go and he chose to stay. The Bible says there in verse 8, he was dwelling among them. He just set up shop, put down roots, ever how you want to say it. Matter of fact, according to Genesis, he climbed the ladder. He climbed the social ladder to where he became a big shot politician in Sodom. That's what he did. Now there's no way, friend, that he could move up that ladder and get to where he did in that place if he had took a stand against what was going on there. There's no way. That's just like right now. I mean, let's just lay it out there. Here it is. There is no politician that will ever govern the United States of America again that can full out, flat out, stand up and take a biblical perspective on everything. It just ain't going to happen no more. If you have a person that does that right now, they'll never get voted into office. That's just how far down the tubes we have gone morally and spiritually, that we have to pick between the lesser of two evils every time we have an election. It's sickening to me. It's sickening now what we call a conservative. What we call a conservative, God would say, is a stinking liberal. I promise you that. But that's where we are now. But here is a man who chose to go there, and he chose to stay. Do you understand Lot could have left at any time? He could have got up and left at any time, but he didn't. That's a bad decision, wouldn't you say? Bad to go, and it's so bad to stay. I mean, if you want to say in your mind, well, maybe he didn't know what was going on down there. He knew what was going on, but okay, I'll give you that. Maybe he didn't know what was going on down there, but it didn't take long after he showed up to find out what was going on. And if it bothered him, he could have sure left any time he got ready. You know when he finally did leave? When God sent those angels down there and said, I'm fixing to burn this place to the ground. If you don't get out, you're going to die. That's when he left. Not until then did he choose. He could have chose to leave, but he didn't. He chose to stay there and just keep himself, and listen to me, his whole family surrounded by all that wicked perversion that was going on down there. Now, that's some of the bad in Lot's life. Now, let me give you something else bad about him, something that really bothers me about him. Is that you don't have any record where he ever spoke up or stood up against what was going on down there. Now, what you have record of is that he was bothered by it. But you don't ever find anywhere in Scripture where he said anything against it. And again, the proof that he never stood up is the fact that he was able to climb the ladder down there. If he had stood against that stuff, they would have either killed him or ran him out of town. He would never have been allowed to live there and daily stand and speak against the mess that was going on in that place. That bothers me about him. He didn't like it, but he never said anything. Do you realize that his belief was really of no value whatsoever? What he believed about what was going on there was of no value really whatsoever. Because he believed that stuff was wrong, but he never said anything. We talk a lot about what we believe. Sometimes I wonder if we really believe it. I do. We say we believe that certain things are wrong. We believe that certain things are sin. we're against that, and we're here in church, and we say amen and praise the Lord. Preach on, brother. I don't get too many preach ons around here, but, you know. You hit that stuff in church. What do you say when you leave church? Do you ever speak up outside of church against this stuff you say you're against? I tell you what I see more and more, and you do too, is the people that are doing these types of things and are in support of these things speaking up. That's what I see. And more God's people keeping their mouth shut. We don't say nothing. But think about it. Think about all these athletes now that have these things that they stand for. They stand for all this, and they show their protest by kneeling whenever you got the national anthem being played. I don't know how you feel about that, but I don't like that, okay? Amen. I'm not for that. But you know what? I'm against it 100%. At least they got enough guts to stand for what they believe in. They got enough guts to kneel down when they know some people don't appreciate it. They'll do it anyway. I'm not for it, but they do got enough guts to kneel down in support of what they say they believe. When was the last time you took a stand for something you say you believe? And more these people are coming out of their closet and being brazen. I heard not too long ago about CNN saying they was going to move their headquarters from Georgia to somewhere else because of Georgia's abortion law. They didn't agree with it. Well, if I was Georgia, I'd say, take a hike, buddy. Just get on out. And it's very unlikely that they ever will, but at least they're willing to stand up for what they say they believe in. What about us? More and more, these wicked, brazen people are standing up and their voice is being heard and they're speaking out and saying what they're against, and less and less and less as time goes on. Do you hear any of us say anything? You know what? We're no better than Lot, folks. We're no better than Lot. We can sit in church and call ourselves Bible-believing Christians and amen the preacher and talk about how we're against all that stuff, but I'm telling you, what we believe is of no value whatsoever if we will not stand up for what we say we believe. And here's the thing. Now, they're brazen and outspoken. You know what we do? We walk around on eggshells all the time. Oh, I can't say that no more, and if I speak up against this, I may lose my job. And we act like we're scared to death. They stand up and speak up. We won't say nothing. We're a bunch of cowards. And what we say we believe is of no value if we won't stand up for it. We're no better than Lot. He was bothered, but he didn't say nothing. I truly believe that the majority of the people in this building this morning are bothered by the perversion that you see going on in this world today and a lot of other stuff. I believe that. But the question I have is, how often do you stand up and speak up for what you say you believe in? It's not doing you or anybody any good if you keep it to yourself all the time. We need to take a stand. And I know people are afraid, well, I might lose this and I might lose. Well, let me tell you something, folks. That's kind of part of Christianity. You know what you read in the Bible? You read men and women who lost their lives to stand up for what they believed in. And we're going to get upset because we might lose our job? Is that too much of a sacrifice for us to make, that we might lose a little bit of money if we stand up? Listen, there were people who were burnt at the stake in order to stand for what they believe. And we're afraid we're going to lose our job because we say something. Listen, folks, our belief is no better than Lot's if we don't speak up for what we say we believe in, the good and the bad. I got about 2 minutes left and about two of you left paying attention, so I'm going to give you the ugly in this whole mess right here. And I'm not going to have time to go back, so I'm just going to mention them. If you want the ugly, go back to Genesis and read how all that stuff turned out for Lot. The ugly. I'm going to just mention them to you. First of all, he had daughters that married wicked men that lived in Sodom. Okay. So he gets at least two. I don't know. It just says his sons, plural, in law. So he at least had two daughters there that married wicked men from Sodom. Okay. So that's what he gets from that. You know, being there and having his family there, his daughters wind up marrying there. Also find that whenever those angels came down there and warned him to get out and to get his family out, when he went to tell his sons-in-laws what needed to be done, the Bible says that he seemed as one that mocked to them. You know what that means? They didn't take Lot serious. They didn't take him serious. So much so that they just stayed there. They didn't believe him. I'll tell you something. We can say what we believe all we want, but if we never are willing to make sacrifices and stand up for what we say we believe and show people that we really believe what we say we believe, they will never take us serious. They will never take us. That is why I am convinced that the majority of the church world today is a joke to the world, because we no longer will stand for anything we say. We're not willing to make any sacrifices whatsoever what we say we believe. And when the time comes that we actually do say a little something, they don't take us serious, because we will not take a stand like we need to. They take him. See, he had no testimony with them people whatsoever. He lost at least two daughters and his sons-in-laws because they didn't leave. God rained fire and brimstone down and they got burnt up. He lost his wife, didn't he? She turns to a pillar of salt. And then when they finally do get out, it's him and two daughters left. And y'all know the story, don't you? They go up into the mountains, into a cave, and those two daughters get him drunk and sleep with their own daddy and get pregnant by him. And let me ask you something. Where did them two girls learn that kind of behavior from? Where did they learn how to do something wicked and perverted like that? Daddy didn't teach them that. They learned that from where they'd been living. All that nasty mess going on around them, and then they did that. That's the ugly of Lot's life. I'm telling you, as saved people, we constantly put ourselves in wicked environments, surrounded by wicked people and wicked things, and fill our minds with junk and garbage, and we let it come into our homes. We let it come into our vehicles. We let it come on our phones. All that kind of mess, I'm telling you, it's not going to turn out good for you. It's not going to turn out good for your children and your grandchildren behind them either. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As we're getting ready to have our invitation today, I want you to think about your own life. First of all, I can say Lot was a saved man. Can you say that about yourself this morning? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you don't, then I can't think of a better time than right now for you to get saved. What about in your own life as a Christian? What kind of choices are you making? What are you surrounding yourself with? What's coming into your mind, into your ears, your eyes, your home, your vehicle? What are you seeing and hearing? Are you taking any kind of a stand? Lord, help us. Father, we thank you again for this day and this chance to be here. Please bless the message as only you can, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jimmy.